Welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, April 14th, 2018. It is Season 12, Episode 14. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Matt.
And welcome to the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. Real quick, do this.
Clap, clap.
There you go. Done.
Good job.
I know. I hate to have to do that right in the middle of all that, but it's best to catch it then and not... I remember what I used to forget.
Mm-hmm.
I used to forget to do this.
The clap.
The clap.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the reason I got the clapper board for the
show. That's exactly
why
you got it. Yeah, I know. And now it's so much better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't... It's very strange because I started doing the clap and then we got the clap board and I did the clap board for a few times. And... it looks like the video is now it all syncs up now. I was doing that because the video and the audio would come out of sync for the editing for the YouTube post. It's not doing that anymore. It looks like it's in time.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no idea what's going on with, I don't know why things change.
Yeah, something updated.
The more they change, the more they stay the same. Speaking of, check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. Go to ingamechat.net. Just make that your homepage. It won't give you news or anything else, but it's got everything you need to get in touch with us. In the left-hand side of the page, you can click on our Twitch link, our YouTube link. You can click on our email and send us email, that sort of stuff. So, best place to go. Got a link to our Facebook page. It's got a link to our Twitter account. It's all right there. If you go to twitch.tv, you can find us there and join us live while we broadcast. Or, like I said, click on the Twitch link that is at our website at ingamechat.net. Easiest way to do that, folks. Easiest way to do it. Anyway, welcome to another week of Game Talk. I know. Yay.
I changed my name in Twitch and it showed up, so yeah.
Oh, nice. Look at that. Good. I got a text from...
Exciting.
Yeah, I got a text from one of the other guys who is on, not necessarily this show, but on this station. He found an Atari 2600.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and... I'd have to find it.
I was thinking about that the other day. I was thinking about Yar's Revenge and how much fun I had playing that on the 2600.
Let's see. Where'd it go?
One of the other podcasts I listened to, they had an episode about Atari.
Mm.
Yeah.
And like the history of Atari, and it was pretty cool.
It's Atari 2600, 8 games with joysticks and paddles.
Mm.
And let's see.
Is combat one of them?
I can barely see the games. It looks like baseball and basketball. E.T. is there.
Oh, yes.
Something that probably says combat. All I see is the M-B-A-T.
Yeah.
Pac-Man is there. It could be Miss Pac-Man, but all I see is the A-C-M-A-N.
Yeah.
I see another copy of E.T. Oh, wait, that's a mirror.
I'm about to say E.T.
Two E.T.s?
Yeah, E.T. Landfill Edition.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not Donkey Kong. I got to read it in the mirror, which is going to be weird. That looks like it's Donkey Kong, yeah.
Hmm.
Did that come out for the 2600?
I can't recall, actually.
Well, I can't. No, no, no. See, okay, this is very strange. So I'm looking at the cart, and this is just a text. And you know what? I could send this to you guys. This is just from a text. all the carts leading up to that last one have the Atari 2600 kind of format to them. They're the black carts with the names on the top.
Right.
That last one's a white one, and in there's a wire from one of the controllers that's covering up the publisher name, but it's the last one, so it's reflected in the mirror. I can read the back of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the back of it looks like it says Coleco.
Oh, like a ColecoVision?
That's a ColecoVision, then you ain't got 8 games, sir. Right. You have 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, you got 7. One of these games has the top sticker is just off. I wouldn't be able to tell you.
Yeah. Coleco's were like a whitish gray, weren't they?
This is a white cartridge, yeah. This is a white cartridge, and it's Coleco. So now my concern is, are the controllers and the paddles even something that works with your Atari 2600, sir, since you've included a ColecoVision game?
Fun fact, the Sega Genesis controllers work in the 2600.
That's interesting.
Because it's the same plug. I did that once.
So, I saw this, and I was like, that's kind of cool. It'd be kind of nice just to have the old system sitting around and, you know, maybe do a display case or something with all the old systems and everything over the years, but dude wants too much money for it.
That vintage thing.
Huh?
That collectability thing, that's why he's got the price jacked up.
Price is $150.
Ooh.
That's too much.
Yeah, that's rather high for that.
I even sent the text, I was like, it's a good find, but they want too much money. And now that I've looked at it, it doesn't even have it has a game that I can't even play on the system.
Mm. I mean, I'm sure you could find it elsewhere in town.
Well, immediately after I sent the text back saying, I think they want too much.
Also, how are you gonna hook it up?
I don't care. I was looking just to buy it to sit on a display and not just really hook it up and play it. Mm-hmm.
That's a very good point because they have the old antenna hookups.
Or the
coaxial.
The prongs or something.
Yeah, the two prongs or the coaxial.
Mm. But
most TVs don't have that anymore.
I went on eBay.
Yeah.
Found an Atari 2600 with just two controllers. It didn't come with paddles or anything else.
Let me guess. About $25.
Mm-mm. No. I wasn't finished.
Okay.
It came with two controllers. It looked nice, clean, that sort of thing. But it came with, there were bundles that had 25 games or 50 games. And those were, $130 for, 25 games or 50 games or something like that.
That makes more sense.
Compared to this, definitely. When I was looking at this, I was thinking, man, I give you $50, you know, and I'll take that home. Mm-hmm. But
they probably don't want to sell it for $50.
No. Oh, it still has the antenna thing. I'll send you this picture.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys can.
Yeah, I'm thinking about some other Atari 2600 games I have. Remember,
Pitfall.
Yeah, Pitfall, of course. Yeah, Pitfall, River Raid. Remember that?
Berserk.
Okay. Yeah. Kaboom.
I just sent it to the G chat thing so you guys could see it.
Okay.
But yeah, it does have the antenna thing where you get the little switch to put it on 3 or 4 or whatever channel you're going to do that with. So, I'm not.
That's kind of funny.
What?
Just, I mean, that old technology.
I remember it.
Yeah, I remember that though.
So
yeah,
yeah. It's interesting, but yeah, I was like, yeah, not no. I'm going to do that. Also, what else was I going to mention? I guess nothing because we can get into the meat of the week and talk about the games that we played. I will tell you, I have not played a single thing all week. Last Sunday, I played a few minutes of Burnout before WrestleMania started. And I played a few minutes of Burnout. Really what I did all week, I played the homeowners game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a Coleco Donkey Kong.
Yeah, it is. The homeowner's game is where you've got a problem in the house and you're not renting, so you have no landlord to call. You need to take care of it yourself. So Sunday, I want to say I ripped it out. I didn't. I took apart the toilet to fix an issue with it. So,
is it anything similar to the commercial you run on this station?
No, it's not.
Thank goodness.
No, okay. there was a leak. There was a leak, and the toilet bowl was not secured.
Okay, yeah.
So, drained it, took it apart, did everything, looked at it. There was a broken part that was on the floor where the drain is, and all this other stuff. So
the washer?
No, the flange.
Flange. Okay.
I didn't want to start getting into too much technical stuff about it in case people don't know what things are. But the flange is something that attaches to the toilet that also attaches to your floor. The flange attaches to floor, toilet attaches to flange, secure. So there you go. Not to get into this old house, which is what we're talking about now. But
was it Bob Vila?
That's who did this old house, yes. Yeah. Could have been Bob Ross.
He would make a really pretty house.
Yeah, I know. Put
a happy little toilet. Happy little flange, yes.
But no, it was broken, and anyway, it took me the rest of the week to get this thing fixed. I honestly didn't get it back together until, satisfied back together, until Thursday, and really...
Goodness, I thought it would be like a simple trip to the hardware store or something. Get that.
It was, but it was not getting everything I need, so it was a couple of simple trips to the hardware store. But I didn't do back and forths, man. I went to the store, got the thing I need, went back, worked on it, found out that what I got was not what I needed. So the next day, I went to the store, got what I needed. So I took it in days like this. I had I have another toilet in the house, so it was not like I was out.
Yeah.
But I have a shower that I could.
Whoa! It is Alabama. You just use a outhouse.
That's really all I did. I would work on that. I'd seriously put in time trying to get that thing done every night up until about 7:30, and then I'd take my sleep aid and get ready to go to bed because I got to get up at 4:30 every morning. So I really did not play anything at all this week other than trying to get that toilet bowl fixed, which I eventually did. And honestly, it's still not completely done. The leak has stopped, but the toilet still is rocking even after the repair.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got the main thing controlled first.
Well, I've got what are called toilet shims, which are they're like little I don't know. Stuff you'd stick under, when a table leg's rocking, you'd stick something under it so it'd stop rocking. Yeah. It's the same thing there, but they actually make them for the bathroom. And you just slide them under the parts of the toilet so it stabilizes, and then you're good. Which, I haven't done that part yet, but I'll get to it. Mm-hmm. So, there. Sorry, we went off into a... This is what we do. We just go off...
Yeah, toilet talk.
Into a tangent. So, sorry.
It happens.
See? Carolyn knows the thing. Buy a wax seal that doesn't have the plastic center. I had to do that with mine. I don't want to get off on this, but
here we go.
But I bought. I could have gone and bought a new toilet and been done with it.
You need is one of those Japanese toilets with the lights and the bidet and the everything.
Let me address some things in the chat room here. Lethal Migraine says it didn't waste so much money on pointless steelbooks. You could just go buy a new toilet and be done. By the way, new toilets aren't as expensive as I thought they were.
Because, not as expensive as some of these steelbooks.
A new toilet cost about the same as getting the Mondo steelbook for Far Cry 5 would be if I bought it off eBay.
Yeah.
Actually, less. New toilet's like $200, $150, $175. They want that Mondo... Far Cry 5 steelbook, they want like $250 off of eBay. So, less. But no, I've installed, I just like doing things on my own when I can.
Well, yeah.
Like if there's a pipe in the wall is busted, okay, I'm going to call somebody. But there's something that I can fix in the house, I'm going to do my best to try and fix it. And I've installed a garbage disposal, a new kitchen faucet. I fixed a leak in the bathtub. And now I fixed a toilet, you know? So, I don't know. It's just one of those things where if I can do it, I am not going to call somebody to come in and do it and then spend more on something like that. I have probably spent $45 to fix this thing. That's it, you know? Mm-hmm. So, that's my whole thing. Carolyn says, buy a wax seal that doesn't have the plastic center. I had to do that with mine. I did not get a wax seal. I was looking at those, and I know about those. I had to scrape the wax off of the thing. It's gross. But, I bought what's called a waxless or a wax-free, better than wax, whatever.
I can't believe it's not wax.
Yeah, really, that's pretty much all it is. Mm. It's this rubber seal that goes down in here, and it won't be a mess, and it doesn't deteriorate as fast. So, you know, we'll see. Anyway, that's it. Enough toilet talk. Back to video games. I'm sorry that I went off on a tangent, but that's just because that was my week. So there's the game I played. What games did you guys play? We'll start with Matt.
So this past week, if we're talking about repairs, I took off the center console for my Mustang, right? Because part of the gear shifter, the little protector, you know, when you shift gears and stuff,
yeah.
The little protector, like, broke, and so I had, like, an open hole when I put it in.
So you played Car Owner, the video.
I played Car Owner, the video game.
Car Owner Simulator.
So
I played House Owner Simulator.
Yeah. So, you know, I went online, and I got, like, a used, you know, gear shifter for the same year models or so. And by the time it came in, I, you know, took out the entire center console part, you know, took out the gear shifter area.
Yeah, but even you had time to play games after that.
But found out it's the wrong year, so I had to replace. I just glued it together and placed it, and they're like, well, I was doing it. I'm like, you know, because I plug in my iPhone and I mean, not my iPhone, but my iPod and other things into the USB.
Yeah.
Because I have a USB adapter for the cigarette lighter.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? If I could just get rid of that cigarette lighter altogether and just get a USB that goes into it. So I did that. I ordered that online, came in, wired it all together, put it all back, and that was my Car Owner game that I played. That's my handyman experience this week.
I mean, we all have them.
Other than that...
Does your radio not Bluetooth with your thing, or do you just need something to charge your...
I have the classic iPod.
Oh, you got the old iPod. You got the baby driver iPod.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, I love it because, like... The newer ones, you know, the touch is nice, but they're only like 16.
The newer one is my phone.
Yeah, it's like 16 gigs or 30 gigs or, I mean, this thing's 160, so it holds all the music and the podcasts that I really like. And also, I have the factory, you know, stereo system, so it's not Bluetooth because it's an 06. So this is before all the fancy.
Do we need to add an hour to the show? I'm starting to think. Just to talk about.
How's your life?
Just random stuff here.
Yeah, random thoughts.
We could include like movies that we watched and all this other stuff, rather than we could add an hour to it and just
really
go into
movies
that
lately.
Go into that.
Loving Vincent was awesome.
What was?
Anyways, I played Far Cry 5. Did some more of that.
Right. Have you finished that?
No.
Okay.
The weekly challenge out right now is. If you play 40 minutes in the arcade, you get the Vector submachine gun and also, like, a, I guess, an outfit and whatever stuff. So I'm like, all right, I want the Vector. So I did some Outlook, some of the Outlook maps and got that, played a little bit more.
It's
and
good
then,
to get, it's good to get your payoff for that then.
Yeah.
Play the other modes, you get stuff to unlock for you. So, yeah, motivation to play other stuff in there, yeah.
And the other than that, the big thing is now more of us have Ghost Recon Wildlands. So Kevin and I are going back to that with you know, James and Jeremy and hopefully now Scott. And
yeah, because I picked it up.
Yeah. So now all of us have it. And
which you can only play with four people, though, right?
Sure, but I mean, the chance of getting all five of us on the same schedule.
At the same time,
pretty,
yeah.
You know, whatever. So that's been fun. Just go, you know, even though, like, Kevin and I have already beat the game, you know, over, all, you know, almost two times over now.
Yeah.
You know, going back through, like, oh, yeah, this is the first mission. I remember exactly what to do. So it was more like we're sitting back. We're like, all right, Jeremy, you go and this is, you know, you get the feel of it. This is what you need to do. All right, you drive us over here. Like, even though we know exactly
where
you're
going to have to do that all over again when I get into play.
And that's fine. I mean, we're okay with that. You know, but it gives them the feel of like, all right, how's the car work? I'm like, oh, it's really slippery and the roads are kind of crazy. Or,
I know. I remember when we played that with you and I guess Kevin.
Yeah.
Or was it James? I can't remember who else was in there with
Kevin
us.
Kevin was in there with us too.
Yeah.
And then, Duke Crookham, was he? Or is it Drunk Degenerates?
I don't remember.
I forget.
Who it was. I don't remember who else was in there with us, but somebody else.
But, you know, like, you know, here's the flying and the helicopter. Let, you know, give you a feel for that. And here's the guns. So I don't mind going all through it over again. They have the Sam Fisher mission out right now. And we tried that one night, and it was just kicking our butt.
It's a it's a defend mission basically. It's a
it
it's
is.
A wave. It's a defend. It's a wave of enemies. Defend mission basically.
It's a first. You have to get into the base that's held by UNIDAD without killing or being spotted.
Right. I watched this. I watched the whole thing on some websites. Like here's the mission. The entire thing. And they did this weird thing where they found a helicopter, got into it, went up, and honestly, the base that they had to infiltrate was not far from where they had the helicopter. Went up, jumped out, parachuted right where they needed to be, and did not get detected whatsoever.
That's crazy because they must have been really high because there's a surface-to-air missile there. at that base that could shoot you down.
Yeah, it was interesting because they got in there and then, like, Sam's doing his little thing. He's like, yeah. Okay, this is going to take a while.
And they got, you know, like I said last week, they had Michael Ironside back in as, you know. Yeah. You could hear the age in his voice and I guess also in the character. But, yeah, that's really what I've been playing. That and work.
Yeah.
I've been playing.
We've all been playing Work Simulator. That is the Stanley Parable, basically.
Mm. Work Simulator is, I think, on, you know, expert mode for me right now.
Yeah. Mm.
It's tough.
RJ, what about you?
Well, I didn't fix anything. I cooked something, so.
Ooh, what'd you cook? Part.
Oh, did you do the pineapple thing? We need to have.
Yeah, how did that salsa turn out? Did you do it?
Yeah, it turned out pretty good. Still got a little bit left, actually. I did find a pineapple jalapeno hot sauce recipe, and I tried that out. It turned out pretty good. And like, I had to do half of the recipe, though, because, that's a bunch that they give you in the recipe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had to cut it in half.
It makes a lot.
Had to cut in half on that one. But, it turned out pretty good. I like it.
And you found the pineapples pretty easily?
Yeah.
Did you get a can?
I got a real pineapple.
It makes a difference. Yeah, you get the can, then they're all in the liquids, and they're just, you know, soggy. Now you need just fresh pineapple.
Yeah, grilled fresh
as much
pineapple.
As possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I did that. Other stuff was cast iron steak, roasted asparagus. Actually made some.
Yeah, we need to add an hour of this. Just need to. Yeah.
Cream mashed potatoes, things like that. Good stuff. I wanted to splurge a little bit, so I went and did that. In terms of playing stuff, I played a bit of King of Fighters 14. They released the DLC this past Thursday. We had four new characters released in the game. Heidern, Najd, Oswald, and a fan favorite, Blue Mary. So I was playing that a lot, getting a lot of time in with that. Even though I did get a late start, I had to do something at work and it took me a little longer than I wanted to. But I got enough playtime playing that. Haven't been able to play a lot of folks online yet, but I want to break into that pretty soon. So I want to do that as well. A little bit of Street Fighter V. Didn't get to play too much of that. Most of my time gaming-wise was spent playing the show, MLB The Show. Unfortunately, I ran into a lot of rage quitters this week.
Oh, jeez, no.
I've posted it on Facebook before, if you've followed my page. It's like, I got two home runs in the game, and it caused a lead change, and I took the lead in the sixth inning. As soon as I did that, dude quit. Left the game. But it wasn't any no detriment to me because I got points as if I won the full game. So I'll take the win. Next time it happened was because I got a home run in the third inning, and that gave me a 5-1 lead.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, soon frustration came, and you just quit.
Yeah.
So I took one home run and three innings this time. So only half the time it took for the first time I rage quit. I've been on the opposite end of that before. I mean, I've been taking a beating in this game before as well because I have struggles hitting. I mean, I'm getting better, but it takes practice and it takes time. But I've taken some 10-1 games of I'm losing badly, but I keep playing. I might chip into the lead. I might improve my batting. I might start to figure out how my opponent's pitching the ball, things like that. You just keep playing. You probably might figure something out. May not give you a win this game, but it'll help you out in the next game. Same mentality in fighting games. You'll get beat all the time, but you learn something and keep moving on from there. Other than that, played a little bit of Trackmania Turbo as well, trying to get some more courses under my belt. Only got like maybe 15 courses out of, 80 something courses available, and they're getting harder every time, but I'm having a good time with it.
All right.
Yeah, so that's pretty much all I'll play this week.
Yeah. I did install Wildlands, got that done. I got a really good deal on Wildlands with the Ubisoft. They're doing a free weekend this weekend.
Yes.
And it's like 67% off. And you can you can buy it, on Xbox, PS4, PC. Mm-hmm. It's all completely 67% off on all the different versions. So, I went online and the guy that I follow, the Wario64, always does the deals.
Yeah,
said that the DLC for Ghost Recon's Wildlands was like $5, but it only activated in the cart. So if you look at the price, it's like $13.
Mm-hmm.
But once you added it to your cart and went and looked at your cart, it was like $5.70 something.
Yeah.
So It's just $5. So then I thought, so the gold version that comes with the DLC, and so there's like three different versions.
Mm-hmm.
If you just go game only and not tchotchkes with the statues and stuff. Three different versions. Standard, deluxe, gold. Gold is the only one that comes with the season pass.
Mm-hmm.
Standard is just...
If it was like the season two season pass, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I wasn't impressed with the season pass for one.
Well,
other than the weapons you get from Fallen Ghost. You get a whole bunch of weapons from that.
So we got multiple seasons now?
Yeah, because it's on year two.
Yeah, okay. Year two is just starting up.
Just started this week.
Yeah, my first experience with that was with Street Fighter. We've got three seasons we've got for that one. $30 a piece, actually. Yeah.
The standard edition's game only. Deluxe edition comes with a bunch of different perks, but not the DLC, not the season pass.
Right.
And then the gold version comes with everything the deluxe, but adds in the season pass.
Mm-hmm.
Gold version right now, if you want it, is like $33.
Okay.
Which ain't bad. Game, DLC, nice, $33.
Yeah.
The deluxe version is $23. But then the $5 DLC, I added to that, and it was like $29. So, boom, saving $3. That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is also a promotion where if you trade in 100 of your Uplay points or whatever there are for Ubisoft.
The U-coins or
what? All that stuff you earn.
I saw those in Trackmania. Yeah,
which I've got over 1,000 of those things from playing Assassin's Creed and Splinter Cell and everything
else. I use mine, so I have them like down to 100.
Yeah, I've got over 1,000 of them. I rarely ever use them.
Oh, really? Because like they give you like free stuff in games, like here's a weapon or here's a vehicle or here's a this or that.
It was a paint job at Trackmania, but then you don't even think about them.
Well, I mean, honestly, I grabbed all the free, like for take AC Syndicate for instance.
Mm-hmm.
I grabbed all the free stuff I could with my with whatever it was offered in the Uplay store, that sort of thing. I grabbed the free stuff, but and you also get bonuses because you have a save from other Assassin's Creed games and everything else. But there was stuff I could spend, except all of my DLC or all of my special stuff that I had bought because it was the gold version with everything that came into it. None of the comparisons, like, here's this weapon. Well, I've got a stronger one that's better than that one. I don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I wouldn't spend anything on it. You might be seeing something in Far Cry, or you might be seeing something in Ghost Recon that I haven't seen yet. But the only two Ubisoft games that I play are Assassin's Creed and Splinter Cell.
Yeah,
and honestly, they really haven't offered me anything that I can't get better in game.
Yeah,
and that's really all I look for.
I think it's
when
more
I play.
For like starting out.
Yeah,
because it'll be better than to start out, but eventually you will surpass it.
But it's usually only like 10 coins.
Yeah.
So,
For Far Cry, I got like a submachine gun. I think I could get a muscle car, and like some costume, outfits and. Stuff like that's not available normally in the game.
Well, I had over 1,000 of them, and you could spend 100 to knock 20% off of your total in your cart.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that, and I only ended up paying like $23 for the deluxe game and the season pass together. So I was like, oh, that's a win. So I took it.
And
now I have it installed.
The 20% only, it doesn't work for new releases.
No, well, I don't know. It didn't.
It doesn't.
Right. Well, I'm
just
saying.
Because I've looked at that before.
Oh, okay.
And, STM Fuller in the chat room was talking about how he tried to get Far Cry 5, and it wouldn't let him.
Right.
So it's not for new releases.
Well, again, this is for Ghost Recon Wildlands.
It's an older game.
Yeah, and the DLC, or the season pass. So, yeah, I didn't have a problem with it. We got to take a break. When we come back, since we've done all of our games, we'll go into the news of things. I got the BAFTA awards to go over. There's a lot to kind of there was some other stuff that happened too. Yeah, I'll tell you all about that when we come back. Today's theme is probably going to be a tough one.
All right,
maybe there may be one song in here after you hear the others that might give it away. But I don't know. It's eclectic picks, but they all share a common theme, but it's probably going to be a tough one. I don't know. I've said that before and you guys have knocked it out of the park, so I should have more faith in you. Here's our first track. It comes from Uncharted 3 and the name of the track is called Badlands. We'll be back with more in-game chat right after this.
Thank you.
And welcome back to In-Game Chats. I'm Scott along with RJ and Matt. You can find us on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv, type in In-Game Chat, and you can watch the show live. Or just go to ingamechat.net, and you can click on the Twitch link that's there on the left side of the screen. And you can watch us while we're broadcasting. And join in the chat room if you'd like to as well. Music here from... does anybody know this? I think RJ probably knows this.
Battletoads?
Battletoads, correct. Just the main theme for Battletoads. So there you go, Uncharted 3 and Battletoads. I'm sure by now you've figured out the connection.
Not even close.
Yeah. Games that have stupid hard levels. How about that? But I don't think Uncharted 3 would qualify on that.
No.
But that's a good idea for another theme. Because I never beat the game. Even with a Game Shark. Had a Game Shark. Still never beat the game. Because of that stupid, whatever it was, the hover bikes.
Yeah.
Stage. Mm-hmm. Never could get past that.
Really?
Never could do it. Mm-mm. I didn't go back to it much later and try, but, I remember playing it and I just could not get past that part.
So you got some, unfinished business then, don't you?
No, not really. I gave up on that a long time ago. It's like James with Master Blaster. That game ends. That's the end of the game right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the end. Like level 3, I think is what that is. But that's the end of the game. Okay, what do we got in the news? All right. Well, I like to go in order of when things happened.
All right.
Because that's usually how I just... That's how I collect the news throughout the week. Another Battle Royale game was released from the Lawbreakers developing crew. And I can't remember the name of their company. It is Boss Key Productions. Cliff Bleszinski, the guy who did Gears of War, released a game called Lawbreakers that lasted about 2 weeks before they stopped development on the game because nobody was playing it. Yeah. The numbers just dropped like... a rock.
Well, they had like some competition or something, didn't they? Just
they did, and then like didn't they announce?
Wasn't that one of those kind of the battle royale?
Lawbreakers was more of Lawbreakers wasn't really a battle royale. Lawbreakers
okay, I
was
think
just
he's working on one of those now.
Well, no, that's what that's what I was getting at. They released it's a 1980s inspired battle royale title called Radical Heights, and I have no idea of anything about it. I haven't looked at it. I haven't watched any of it. I'm just like, okay, fine, add another battle royale game to the list of the ever-growing battle royale games. Right now it's Fortnite and PUBG. Them's your kings of the block, with Fortnite doing a really good job of holding their own.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting that after the failure of Lawbreakers, I mean, it was a big failure too, but after the failure of Lawbreakers, they're like, nope, we're right back into it. So Yeah, Lawbreakers was a lot like Overwatch. It was just a multiplayer type thing.
Yeah.
Team-based multiplayer, but with some physics stuff. Yeah. And it just did not catch on.
Yeah, anti-gravity type thing or something going on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It honestly, the stuff that they built for it to show you how it played looked really cool and made it seem like, hey, that's going to be something really fun to do.
Yeah.
And the lead-up with beta plays and everything else actually did a great job of conveying this sense that, hey, there's a lot of people interested in this. And then it released, and it had like one good week.
Crickets.
Maybe a good few days, not even a week. And then the player base just dropped like a rock, just completely stopped playing it. So, just did not last.
Which makes me wonder off tangent, you know, I wonder how Metal Gear survives. You know, like
how that's holding up? Yeah, I don't know. I don't hear a lot about it, so that probably isn't a great thing. I don't know, but that's Konami, right? They didn't, because they still own the IP. The other thing was that a Kickstarter launched Monday for the Myst collection, 25th anniversary collection of Myst.
Yep.
And I was really excited about this. They're going to updates all the they first off they've been doing this for a while, trying to get the rights from Ubisoft, who owned Myst 4 and Myst 3, and they were trying to get the rights back from that so that they could release a collection and get them back into their ownership basically. And they finally were able to do that. And so now they're going to update Myst, Riven, Myst 3, Myst 4, Myst 5, and Uru, and Real Myst. They're going to update those for Windows 10 compatibility and re-release them. They'll be available on Steam and on Good Old Games.
I'll probably get the Real Myst.
If you already have the games, they'll just get updated. You won't have to rebuy.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So if you already own the games, you'll get the updates whenever they do this. This Kickstarter is mainly for the collection, for the packaging of the collection.
Yeah.
At a certain tier. I think at 50,
I think it's the $100 tier.
It is. At $50, you'll get digital versions of the games.
Mm-hmm.
At $100, you will get a linking book with just a... It's like a Myst book. You open it up, and there's a cutout on the page, and it's got... At $100, it's just got the game cover that's in there. It's just it's a case for all the games, and so you can change out which cover will show in the window of the book when you open it up. And then is it $250? No, it's at one. You know what? Let me look here. 49%, 99 tier above. Where's that? Here it is. Because I cannot remember what the different one was there. $99. That is the... there it is. $169.
Okay.
At $169, you'll get the linking book that actually has a video screen in it that'll show the rotation of the island and everything else, just like it did in the video game and stuff, which is really, really cool. And then at $250, you get all of that. But you get this really cool, it's an inkwell and a pen that was on one of the desks in Riven, and that's really amazing too. So anyway, they've got a lot of stuff out there. They hit their goal within like 8 hours, maybe less.
Yeah.
They hit their goal.
Now, are you getting the 160 version?
I'm getting the inkwell, yes.
Oh, the 250?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm getting the inkwell.
Nice.
No, that's... This is Myst we're talking about. I flew to Seattle and then spent a day driving 4.5 hours to Spokane just to visit their studio. And I hope to do that again, but they'll probably be at PAX this year to support this. Massive, massive fan. But when I went there that time, God, Rand was really, really nice. He signed so much stuff, and he gave me so much. He's like, "Do you have a copy of it on 3DO? I was like, "Nope, here you go. Copy of it 3DO. What, do you have a 3DO? Nope, doesn't matter. Here you go. What about Atari Jaguar? Here's a copy of that for the Jaguar. Here's a copy of it for the 3DS. Here's a copy of it for the DS. Here's a copy of it for the...
We made it on the TI calculator. Here you go.
I know. Here's a copy of it for the Saturn. I've got a Saturn version of it now.
Yeah.
And he signed everything. He just
That's
signed.
Awesome.
I know. It's fantastic. I didn't ask for any of that. He's just like, "Hey, what do you, here you go. Want a shirt? Here's a shirt." it was fantastic to visit their studio and talk to him. Right now they asked for $247,500, a very specific amount, mainly because of how much money it was going to take to make the items that they're given to the backers for this.
So they're not asking for a whole bunch way over. And just,
right. Well, they've gotten $829,000.
Yeah, no, that's great.
They have gone massively over their goal, and so it's going to be it's a win-win for them.
When does it close out?
They've got 39 more days.
Okay, good.
Yeah, they've got a while. What are you looking at? You looking at the
$50 tier? Just I want to get all the games.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can do that. If you've already got a few of them,
I don't anymore.
Yeah. Okay. There was a lot of people in the...
I had Myst on the iPad.
In the Myst subreddit on Reddit, there was a lot of people saying, "Yeah, but I already own all of these things." So the only thing that they didn't own was Myst 3 and Myst 4, because Ubisoft owned those and they hadn't released them. And so they felt a little like, "I really hate to throw in $50 just to get those two games, whereas I could wait for this to release, and now it's going to, and I can just pay whatever Steam or GOG is offering." Yeah. And get the two games that I need to finish up my collection, mm-hmm. which is perfectly fine. At first, when this thing launched, I was a little worried because a lot of people were saying, "Yeah, I'll just wait till they release them, and then I'll pick them up." And I thought, yeah, but they might not release them if they don't make their goal. This is an all or nothing type of thing.
Yeah.
I didn't have to worry about that one bit. So,
I don't think I've ever never played Myst. I remember seeing it on Saturn, though.
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it on the shelf at Blockbuster for the Saturn.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, now you got a signed copy.
Well,
several signed copies.
I took my, and that's one thing, I don't know if they had, I think they had PC box copies, but I took my boxed copies of Myst and Riven. This is back when PC games came in these big, giant boxes.
Oh, yeah.
And so I took my copies of those games with me. I took copies of the books. There's three books in the Myst series that were that he had a hand in writing, and had him sign those as well.
Mm-hmm. I like the little video that they made with Adam Conover.
Yeah, for the 25th anniversary collection Kickstarter. Yeah, and anyway, just to let you know, we're going to have Rand on the show next week, so he will be calling in and we will talk. Originally, they hadn't. I was working on this interview the day it launched, and by the time we got everything done, they had already hit their goal. And I was like, "Well, he probably doesn't need to come on now to promote the. There's no reason to promote the Kickstarter now that it's way past its goal."
I'm super glad that it is, though.
I am too, and it'll be fun to talk to him again. So he's going to be on the show next week with us. And nice. I've got some questions from the community that are curious about it as to. What are you doing with the overage on this? What are you going to, how's the development of your other game that they teased, Firmament, which is something that they're working on? Can we get remasters of these? What would involve remasters of the old games to kind of freshen up the look?
Well, wasn't Real Myst kind of a remaster?
So there's Myst Masterpiece Edition, which was a remaster of Myst. And then there was Real Myst Masterpiece Edition, which was a remaster, just like a, like a 3D remaster of a remaster of a game. Yeah.
It's like Mistception in here.
I know, right? Because there's Original Myst, which I don't know that you can buy Original Myst anymore. I think it's just Myst Masterpiece or Real Myst.
And, all right, so from my understanding of it, right, Myst is static, static frame to static frame
yes.
to static frame. Real Myst is you could actually flow and move. You're not just going from screenshot to screenshot to screenshot.
Yeah, and I think Myst Masterpiece Edition was still static frame. Well, it wasn't static frame, but more was a 360 frame.
Okay.
Was that when you moved, it changed what you saw in front of you, not in real time, but, you know, new scene, and then you could move in a 360 direction to see everything around you, and you didn't have to scroll through pictures. You know what I'm saying? How you would scroll through the different looking...
As opposed to something like...
I never played Masterpiece Edition, actually.
Okay. Did you play Real Myst?
Well, I know Real Myst, though, does the 3D, basically, first-person view.
Okay.
Of you walking through Myst Island.
I guess kind of like how I think of it would be not Stanley Parable, that one puzzle game that was really good where you get, like... You're on the island with the robot and the god talking to you.
Oh, Talos Principle.
Talos Principle. Kind of like that in a way where you're like, you could actually walk around mm-hmm. in the world.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that's more Real Myst.
You can, Real Myst, you can walk around in the world, but I think you're still on a path.
Okay.
I don't think you could deviate from your, I'm not sure. Again, I've seen them, but I actually have not played them.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Yeah. Riven was the same way when it released, was very, you know, static screenshot to static screenshot. Myst 3 was the first one.
But I think that was like the technology at the time.
It was.
And to be able to get such photos and screenshots in mm-hmm. a way.
It completely was.
Amazing yeah. back then.
And it was beautiful. It was beautiful to see. And then Myst 3 was the first time that I could actually move around in the area. Myst 4 just carried on with that. Myst 5, same way. Uru was a completely different experience, and what they tried to do with that, which was really cool. And then I never played Real Myst. But, yeah, they're doing fine with that, and Rand will be on the show next week. We haven't really worked out a time if it's going to be on the first hour or the second hour, but whatever works for him, we'll have him call in. So he will be he'll be live on the phone with us, actually. Speaking of the phone.
J-Dub.
J-Dub, let's go to him. J-Dub, hey, man.
What is going on?
Not a lot. Talking about games, toilets, cars, and other things.
You struck a nerve when you said Riven, man.
Riven, yeah, well.
That was two,
that,
right?
Yeah, that was the sequel to Myst, yes.
I remember that game came out. I had no idea what it was. I had like my first real spending money of my own and first job kind of thing back on the PS1 days, and I saw it, and it was on sale at Walmart, and I was like, I remember it said visually stunning graphics. Mm-hmm. On the little sticker on it. And I was like, well, I'll check this out. And I remember, like, the first 10 minutes, I'm like, what in the world is this?
Yeah.
And then I got on that little roller coaster thing that takes you across the island. And that was the coolest thing I had ever seen because it was so real looking. I mean, the graphics were incredible. You couldn't do anything, really, but it was just insane. And then, like, you know, this is back before internet days. You couldn't just look up what to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So having to figure that game out, finally, I guess you could say beating it. I don't really know that beating it is the term, as there's not really it's just a lot of pointing and clicking and getting things right. But
I mean, there is an ending. There was completing it. There was a story in that game. In fact, there were multiple endings in that game.
That I didn't know.
Yeah, there were multiple. There was a good ending and there was a bad ending. And there was an ending that, in other words, you were trying to capture a guy who had basically it's the main character who is not you, but the main character's father. The main character is played by Rand, by the way, who will be on the show next week.
Yeah.
But
cool.
His father had taken control of Riven, and you were trying to trick him into linking into a prison with a book that you had, and you were trying to trick him to do that, and so one ending was where you didn't do that, and his father killed his son. Mm-hmm. Another ending was where you did do it, but you were unable to free Rand's wife, Rand's character's wife, and so you saved it, but you killed his wife in the first place, or in the second place. The good ending was where you saved her and captured the father.
Yeah.
And then there was an ending where the father trapped you, and that could come early on in the game where you got trapped, and that was just basically a choice where it's like, oh, better reload my save and do a different thing here.
I was looking at something.
Right. Yeah. I remember that now because that was what happened to me the first time I played it.
Yep.
Was that like pretty early on? Like, I don't even think you make it really good into the second disc, and you're done. Like the game's over.
Yeah, that happened early. Yeah.
And then I finally figured out, because I remember those like those globe-looking things that you had to spin a certain way or something, and then they would open up.
Probably. It's been forever since
I
played it.
Oh, man, that game stuck with me. Because I don't know, it's been a summer. Like, it was a nighttime game, because when you played it dark, it was back in the old tube television days.
No. Yeah, every time I would play my game, anytime I would sit down in front of Myst, and I did this with everything up to Myst 4, with the exception of Uru. I would turn all the lights off in the house, and I would turn up the volume on if I was playing. I played Myst 3 on the Xbox, I think, the original Xbox. I would turn off the lights, turn up the volume, and immerse myself into the experience. I wanted to have that sense of sort of being there as best I could. And it's amazing that you could say that towards a game that really was just a slideshow.
Mm-hmm. But it didn't feel like it.
It never did.
It was certain animations that, like I remember the water is what saved it. And that's what kept it feeling real, and you didn't feel like you were just stuck on a screensaver, because like the little water puddles and stuff would move,
mm-hmm.
and like you know, there'd be like the sound of a breeze and the water. I mean, for the time and for a PlayStation 1 to have something with that kind of graphic, like
how many discs?
Incredible.
Do you remember how many discs? Oh, it was five discs.
Five.
I knew it was going to be something huge.
Riven was
and
five discs.
Riven's the one with the big ball hotel thing, right?
Big ball hotel thing. I know what you're talking about. The cover, yes. I know what you're talking about. The big ball hotel thing.
You said it was a hotel, right?
No.
A prison?
It was not. It was like prison. It was kind of like a prison, but it was like an observatory kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like one of the rooms had a big telescope thing that you tried to access, but it like you couldn't ever get it to work until like the very end of the game. For some reason, I just remember that because there was like some little note or something you would read that would tell you to use it, but you could never use it until you had like restored power to it somehow.
Yep, the old puzzle games, man, was basically it. You find the object, but now you have to power the object, and then in order to power the object, you have to connect a thing that needs power as well, and what you know.
I do know that playing that game helped me finally beat Resident Evil 1.
Okay.
Why? How did it help you do that?
Puzzles. It made me think about puzzles.
Oh,
there
yeah.
were so many puzzles in one, like one and two.
That's the thing. First. That's the way Myst shaped my gaming style, basically. Was where I fell in love with puzzle solving.
For me, it was the Sierra LucasArts adventure games. For the same reason, because they were puzzle games, too.
The Sam & Max?
Oh, I mean, The Dig, the Sam & Max.
See, I never played The Dig, but I played Sam & Max, and that was just, that more felt like a point and click than a puzzle solving to me.
Yeah.
Especially the way you solved puzzles in the way I did them in Myst at the time. Or the way I did them in Seventh Guest, if you go back to
that.
That
was brutal.
Ooh, that's another one that I just remembered.
And the 11th Hour.
That would get me all kind of nostalgic sight.
Yeah, yeah, Seventh Guest and 11th Hour, those were brutal.
There's a fan-made sequel that is happening for Seventh Guest. It is endorsed by the creators, and it is releasing in October, and it's called The 13th Doll, I think. It's very strange. There was the Seventh Guest, and then they made a sequel called The 11th Hour.
Yeah.
And then this fan-made sequel is called The 13th Doll, and you go back to the house. It's got the original...
The Toymaker's house?
It's got the original actor who played the Toymaker.
Oh, really?
In that one, and they've got all different puzzles and stuff. I think it's called... post that in the chat room if you could. I think it's called The 13th Doll. I don't know if you want to Google that. Or maybe Google fan-made Seventh Guest sequel. That might be way more specific than 13th Doll.
So you're going to get some weird...
Yeah, I don't know. 13th Doll. And it may not even be called that. I may have just made that up.
But that sounds like it would...
It's got a number and an object.
Yeah, that sounds like that would be in that realm.
Yeah.
I'm going to hang up and listen.
All right, man. Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah, y'all have a great show. I'm enjoying it.
All right, take care.
So. Or Phantasmagoria.
I remember Phantasmagoria.
That scared me.
And... Oh, man, there was another one around that same time. It had, was that an action game or a puzzle game? Something that had Bruce Willis in it.
Bruce Willis? Die Hard?
No. Was it Apocalypse?
Apocalypse. Oh, that was an action game.
Okay. What is the one? Okay.
With you have like the Apocalypse. And
There was one that had Dennis Hopper Angel in it.
Super Mario Brothers?
No. Dennis Hopper PC game. What was that?
I mean, there's a lot of.
It was Hell, a cyberpunk thriller.
Yeah.
That's what it was called. Hell, a
Shivers. I mean, the Last Express. That was a really good one because that was like rotoscoped, you know, sort of like a Murder on the Orient Express style. A lot of good old adventure games out there.
RJ posted the Riven cover in our chat room, so you could see. Oh, it was a tiny picture. Yeah, I mean, I get where you think it looks like a hotel.
Yeah, it's a little ball hotel.
But it's those aren't necessarily rooms.
They could be.
They're just. That is, in fact, I think that's Gen's lab, Gen's house. Well, I say Gen, that's the evil guy that you've got to capture and do whatever with. So, 13th Doll. That's what the sequel to Seventh Guest is going to be. We spent way too much time going over this stuff. We need to take a break. When we come back, we'll go over more news of the week, and hopefully I won't land on a subject that makes me talk for 30 minutes and, you know, not get to everything else. Because there is other stuff to get to. That whole Donkey Kong thing. I can't wait to get into that, only for the fact that it feels like justice was served. Steam Spy shutting down, Destiny 2 getting released, or the expansion for Destiny 2, the second expansion for Destiny 2, Ewok mode and Star Wars Battlefront 2, A Way Out news, Bioshock news, Shenmue news,
yes,
Sega
that's
news.
The one I'm
it's all
about.
Over the place. We'll get to it when we can. So far... You've heard Uncharted 3, a track from Uncharted 3 called Badlands. You heard the title theme to Battletoads. Well, here's music from Resident Evil Revelations 2, and it's called Limits. So we'll be back, if you can figure that out. We'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. I'm Scott, along with RJ and Matt. You can find us at Twitter. Oh, hi. There's somebody behind you.
Yeah, I know. I saw. I'm observant.
It scared me. Is everything cool? Everything's good?
Super cool.
Okay.
Yeah, hop in.
We're not playing anything. We're playing music right now. Yeah. We're about to start talking. Is everything cool? Everything good? Okay. You were just coming to check. Okay. Anytime somebody comes up here, it's like, oh God, what broke downstairs? So, while I was downstairs, I checked outside. Things are oddly calm.
Calm for the storm?
I checked the radar, man, and it's right there on the edge. It's coming.
Maybe we'll get that Montgomery bubble.
Well, if I can, I just want to get the computer in my car
before
and then
the
into
rain?
My house before the pour down starts, so... Yeah, this is music from Earthworm Jim. New Junk City is the name of this track. So, again, good luck figuring out the theme between all of these songs.
Figure it out right after you tell me.
The next one's going to throw you off, too. No, I think this one's like one of those weirdly specific things where, you know, character had an earring in the left nostril or something. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be one of those oddly specific things that ties them all together. So
all characters are left-handed.
Right. You know, something stupid like that.
Which Link is.
But just the variety of what was chosen, I think, is what is going to throw off the... Is what's going to throw you off. The fact that you're getting... NES titles, and then an Earthworm Jim title.
A PlayStation 3 title.
Yeah, Resident Evil Revelations, you know, a horror game, and an action game, and then whatever Battletoads is. And,
impossible game.
Frustrating.
You know, and then Earthworm Jim, which is just like a comedy game. So,
And it's frustrating sometimes, too.
So, good luck with that. All right, what else did we get? Chrono Trigger got a patch on PC to bring the original graphics back. I don't know if anybody saw. Did anybody buy that one? Did you guys buy that?
No.
Well, they patched it, and now apparently people are very happy with what they've got.
Yeah, but is it still the mobile interface?
I have no idea.
See?
I don't know.
If they would have ported the actual Super NES game instead of the iOS game, that would have been it.
Would have been better, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, completely.
Yeah, much better.
Yeah, I really don't know. Xbox rolled out their backwards compatibility to the original Xbox titles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the...
Is this the ones, the BioShock games?
No.
Oh.
The original.
Oh, not BioShock. BioWare.
They rolled back
a lot of the old BioWare games. You know, like, so people are starting, you know... Backwards compatibility for like Jade Empire and
Empire is in there. Hunter the Reckoning, Elder Scrolls 3, Morrowind, Blinks the Time Sweeper, Conquer is in there. SSX 3 is now backwards compatible.
Yep.
Panzer Dragoon Orta is in there as well. And then April 26th comes another wave, which is Mercenaries, Full Spectrum Warrior, Destroy All Humans, and then a massive bunch of Star Wars games.
Yeah,
Battlefront, Battlefront 2, Jedi Starfighter, Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy, Republic Commando, and Knights of the Old Republic 2.
Republic Commando is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I like the game so much, I have an outfit of it.
So those are going to be backwards compatible to your Xbox One.
You know you like the game when you're willing to spend, you know, over $1,000 for an outfit of it.
Yeah.
Fusion Frenzy, I remember that one. That was a launch title for the Xbox.
Yep.
For the original Xbox. So
the bullet
I wish they
Xbox.
Would remaster Draken. That's what I wish they would do.
Remaster or just be like just release
playable?
It so that you
well,
can...
I would like a remaster with like better graphics because like in my mind, I think about that game when it came out on the PC and the Xbox, and like I attribute current gen graphics to it as opposed to what it was. Mm-hmm. And I'm afraid if I would actually like see it or play it, I'd be like, oh, that's rough looking.
Yeah.
As opposed to in my mind, it looks like Skyrim.
Hmm.
Which it doesn't look like Skyrim. I can tell you that right now. I know it doesn't. But if they could do like a remake or a remaster or just something like that, or a sequel, actually, would even be better. Like just redo Draken with my little flying dragon lady, and that would be so much
flying
fun.
Flying dragon lady.
It was a fun game. It was so much fun.
We are under a tornado watch until 7 p.m. That likely probably went out over the air. We probably got interrupted by the EAS.
I didn't hear anything.
No, we won't.
And.
We won't hear anything, and if you're listening, I think if you're listening on the stream, you probably won't hear anything either. You probably will, actually, on the stream. But anyway, just letting you know that we are under a tornado watch until 7 p.m. here, and I was trying to find, there's the radar. Yeah. It's about to hit, home, and... It's close to us. The big blue dot is where we're at. And then the red line is where... I was showing you guys.
No, yeah.
But,
I'm about to hold up to my camera.
No, you're fine. So, yeah, gonna get a...
We're getting some weather.
We're getting some weather, yeah. So then this whole thing with Billy Mitchell. A few weeks back...
I was talking with Jeremy real quick about Billy Mitchell, and I'm like... Part of me wonders how much of the King of Kong was real, how much of it was sort of embellished to make him into a heel, a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
If he really was that way or if they just sort of embellished it to make, because like even documentaries have.
I think they embellished it.
Yeah, I think so,
but
too.
But I think.
I think there was some truth to his jerkiness.
But I also think Billy was okay with that embellishment at the time. And I think over time. I think he grew to regret that.
Yeah, I get that feeling as well.
Yeah, I think he grew to regret agreeing to go along with
he's thinking that like, oh, hey, this will give me publicity. I could sell more hot sauces.
Yeah.
My name's out again, blah, blah, blah. But like, I don't know if he was always like that much of a jerk as they portrayed him to be in the movie. I always thought that was like enhanced just, for narrative purposes of the movie. But I don't know, man.
Still not be a jerk, but apparently he cheated, which is a jerk move thing.
Yes.
But if you ever watch King of Kong, it's a nice little
interesting story.
Yeah, but
I liked it.
To cut a long story short, Steve Wiebe?
Steve Wiebe.
Wiebe, yeah. Wiebe has his big shot, the first ever Donkey Kong score over 1 million points, ruled out after Billy Mitchell throws doubt on Wiebe's claim. Mitchell then provides contentious videotaped evidence of his own 1 million-point run.
Yeah, that whole tape was sketch.
Which Twin Galaxies accepts over Steve's score. So fast forward to today, the result of a long-running investigation into Mitchell's Donkey Kong high score. A decade on, Twin Galaxies has determined that several of Mitchell's high-scoring achievements could not have been possible on an unmodified Donkey Kong arcade machine, which the official records require. The result?
Boot.
Mitchell's records for Donkey Kong and every other arcade game have been swiped from Twin Galaxies' official listing. The organization has also notified Guinness World Records, which have removed it as well. After achieving another verified 1 million-point run soon after the King of Kong was filmed, Steve Wiebe is now rightly recognized as the first player to beat the million-score mark. He is, however, not at the top of the charts. Somebody else is at the top with a high score.
The higher score. Yeah, but he was the first to do it.
But he was the first.
My understanding, the way they found out, if I remember hearing about this correctly, it all came down to the refresh rates.
Yeah, it was the refresh rates and the way the level built.
Yeah, yeah, the way, because like in an arcade game, the level would build a certain way. Like, I think it's like left to right, or something like that, where like it, you know, it's instantaneous. You know, it's like quicker than we can normally see.
But you can, but if somebody films it, you can see the scan line go across the screen.
Across as you know, the level is building. But in an emulator or a modified version, it builds a different way,
top to bottom or bottom to top, something like that.
Yeah. And so that's how they were able to determine that this was cheating.
And it takes, boom, just a blink of an eye to do it. Mm-hmm. But somebody was able to slow down the footage and see that the scan line went across and how the level was built that way.
And it's like,
that's not how it's supposed to happen. So Twin Galaxies investigation was brought by member Jeremy Young, who examined the tape of Mitchell's score runs, alleged that they could only have been made using an emulator. And for several instances, this has now been proven correct. Twin Galaxies has meticulously tested and investigated the dispute case assertions, as well as a number of relevant contingent factors, blah, 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 that dispute claim assertion rely upon. In addition to Twin Galaxies' own investigation into the at least two different third parties conducted their own explorations and came to identical conclusions. Most notable was that Billy Mitchell the third party that Billy Mitchell engaged to help examine the dispute case claims on his behalf, utilizing whatever original equipment Billy could provide, whose final finding was consistent with Twin Galaxies' investigation and others. So Billy Mitchell actually hired somebody to do an investigation and came to the same conclusion, even when Billy knew he was playing on an emulator. From a Twin Galaxies viewpoint, the only important thing to know is whether or not the score performances are from an unmodified original DK arcade. As per the competitive rules, we now believe that they are not from an original unmodified DK arcade. And so our investigation of the tape content ends, and the conclusion and assertion. So, yeah, his now outlawed records have since been beaten many times as the push for even higher score continues. The current record is set by a 31-year-old Robbie Lakeman. It's at 1,247,700. It's interesting to see this kind of come around and him get his comeuppance, I suppose. Mm. He was really a jerk in that movie.
Yeah.
He really came off
like someone
that
you just want to punch.
He just came off as a villain. And maybe he's not that way, but boy.
Yeah, but, I mean, narrative stories need a good villain. He did that role well.
Mm-hmm. That he did. Destiny 2. All we got for Destiny 2 is a name of the expansion and I think a release date. May 8th is when we'll get expansion number 2. And all it's called is Warmind. That's it.
Are you going to get it?
I mean, I've already got it.
I bought the
thing that came with the season pass, so...
I think I'm going to pass.
I would avoid it if I were you. I would avoid it and wait for year 2 if there's anything going to come of that. So
yeah.
You already own the game. So just kind of hold out until like there's a resurgence, cuz this next DLC doesn't mean the game is going to get corrected or be different or everything get ironed out.
The community feels dead.
Oh, yes it do.
Which I had fun playing it, but playing other things now.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about A Way Out. You really wanted A Way Out. Well,
yeah.
A Way Out has sold over 1 million copies in just 2 weeks. 2 weeks they sold over 1 million copies. That was more than EA ever expected it to do the entire time it was released.
That'd be 500,000 copies per person. I mean, like, because you get two players, one player, two players. Never mind.
No, I mean, it's sold over 1 million.
Yeah.
So it's not just...
And I think it's great that you only need one copy for both people to play.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You can do that as well.
That, I think, is maybe a contributing factor to it selling so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be, because, you know, you play it and somebody else joins you, and then they're like, oh, I'm going to get this, and we'll go play it, and that sort of thing just sort of snowballs into what it did. But, well, yeah.
Like, you know, Kevin and I are talking about, like, just, like, he'll split half the, you know, half the cost. You know, I'm like, all right. Knock it down to $15. That's not bad.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's not at all. What else do we have? BioShock 3, maybe another, I'm sorry, not BioShock 3, but another BioShock game is possibly in development. There was a report on Mafia 3 Studio Hangar 13 and what happened after that, where Mafia 3 just kind of dive-bombed as far as, it just didn't do very well.
Right.
Not to expectations?
Not expectations for a AAA title.
Yeah.
And
was Mafia 2 a AAA title?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember who published that. I don't think it was Take-Two, but I want to say it was maybe T, and it wasn't THQ. It may have been Take-Two.
Mafia 2?
Mafia 2, yeah. But Mafia 3 was Take-Two. It was supposed to be great. It had a lot of money and backing into it, and then it just didn't sell very well. And it was the studio who had developed it was called Hangar 13, and there was a lot of layoffs.
It says 2K Games, Feral Interactive, 1C, Connect 2 Media.
2K, yeah.
Yeah, 2K, yeah.
Yeah, I keep saying Take-Two. I'm sorry, it was 2K. That's who does Bioshock as well.
It's probably an indicator for Mafia 3. I think it was you telling us about the limited edition of Mafia 3. The price was cut ridiculously low.
It was real
low.
Cheap, yeah, and I picked it up. According to a report on Kotaku, former employees of Mafia 3 studio Hangar 13 have joined a top secret studio to work on the next Bioshock. Goes by the codename Parkside. There is no other information. Other than there was a listing that 2K, or Take-Two, oh God. In numerous financial briefings over the last fiscal year, Take-Two has stated that 2K Games has a highly anticipated new title from one of its major franchises in the works. A lot of people think that's Borderlands. But it's also...
It's overtime for a new Borderlands.
It is. And it also could be Bioshock. And so I'm sure maybe there'll be something that we find out at E3, an announcement or something like that, a little tease or some sort. So, anyway, we got to take another break. When we come back, we will go over the BAFTA Awards. We will talk about the Shenmue and Sega stuff that was announced last night, basically. Mm-hmm. It was midday, I think, Tokyo, whenever they were doing this presentation, but last night for us. Mm-hmm. So... we'll go over that, and we'll actually, do we have time? Who's
Chris?
Is Chris? We'll get to Chris real quick. I won't make him wait. Hey, Chris.
What's going on?
Not much. About to run into a break, but what's going on with you?
Oh yeah, the last time y'all had the Dungeons and Dragons episode, I love that. That was excellent.
Oh, the Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
good
thanks.
To hear.
Yeah.
Please do some more because I want to find out what happens after the dragon.
I know the dragon came in, and we got to figure out where to go from there. So yeah.
I'll sing about it.
No.
I'll get in touch with Josh and we'll start seeing if I'm sure he's heard some things, but you're the first, you're honestly outside of just people who commented on the live video. Mm-hmm. That's the first feedback I've gotten, is from you, Chris, saying that you liked it. So, I'd like to hear more. If that's something that more people would want us to do, then we'll do it. We won't do more. I won't say that it'll become more of something that we do, but we do it like, you know, 3 or 4 times a year to keep things going. So
technically, it's all positive so far.
But I'm glad you. Yeah, it is. We're 100%. Yeah. But I appreciate you calling and letting us know about that.
All right, y'all have a good one, and watch out for the weather, everybody that's listening locally.
Yeah, no kidding. Thanks,
man.
All right, bye.
Bye. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have more of in-game chat. Good luck on the song question here. This one is from the NES classic Kid Icarus. We'll be back after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat and our final segment here. That is music for Metroid.
I concur.
Yeah. I don't think it brings you any close to solving the mystery, but...
I am totally lost on this.
Yeah, I know. I figured. Yeah. Still got one more song.
Unless the song's title is This Is What the Theme Is About. Well.
We'll get to it in a minute. We'll get to it. But, okay, so Sega had a presentation last night at... Where was this? At the... Was it a Tokyo thing? I can't remember what this was for. Sega Fest. Sega Fest in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And to commemorate the console's upcoming 30th anniversary, Sega took the opportunity to unveil its own miniature classic edition version of the Genesis. The Mega Drive Mini, or the Genesis Mini, will be released in Japan first, with the U.S. and other territories later this year.
Now, come at me when they come out with the Dreamcast Mini. That's the one I want.
Yeah.
Well,
I got a Dreamcast that still works, so...
Well, same here.
I know, but...
The problem with this is that, from what RJ was telling me, this Genesis Mini is made by the same company who made sort of a... They were trying to capitalize on the SNES Mini and the NES Mini and everything else, and released something very similar or exactly like it.
It's like something called from At Games. They released some Genesis... I think it's called Genesis Flashback.
Yeah.
Something like that. It had like 80 games and things
like
that.
Kind of like the Atari Flashback.
Yeah, something like that.
But it's the same company.
Yeah. I saw the thing at like maybe not in a... Not place you wouldn't sell like Walgreens. I mean, I see it at Walgreens on display or some...
I saw it at Toys R Us.
Places like that. Things like that. Yeah. I ain't been to Toys R Us. But yeah.
I've seen
like that.
It before.
You're right?
Yeah, but, 80 games.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And it looks like an old Genesis.
And the reviews were like pretty bad on this thing. Not a very well-performing emulator, basically.
Yeah.
But from what I've been looking at, it seems that Sega's going to distribute this company's version of their Mega Drive. If that's the case,
pass.
I want to back off on that. Hold off and see what is Sega doing. Have they improved anything? Have they changed anything? Have they done anything? What are they going to do?
When Nintendo did the NES and the SNES Classic, right? At least they made it, you know, number one, HDMI compatible. Mm-hmm. They sort of up-resed them a little bit. They made, you know, the UI of the games and the interface of, you know, how you play the games. I mean, like, they put work into it.
Right.
You know, I'm curious to see what level of work will be put into this Genesis. And, you know.
Doesn't look like any. It looks like they're just using someone else's, puller producing product and just putting more.
Which kind of answers a question that you had asked, and I don't know if it was on air or off air, but if that's the case, I don't think it'll be moddable.
Right.
Because I believe you couldn't do that with the one that you could buy from Walgreens or whatever.
Yes.
I don't think it'll be moddable. Unless, again, this could be something completely different, but I'm just not seeing it happen.
Because I think the one that you could get, the one that you saw at Walgreens, right? Yeah. I think it's the normal Genesis size. It's not shrunk down. I think it's the size of the actual original. I wonder, is this new one going to be a smaller version, like shrink down, like the NES Classic?
It looks like it. Looking at the picture from Sega Fest.
It is a mini. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You ever see the picture from Sega Fest?
No, I haven't seen the picture.
It's just dude holding it, and it's about that big.
Yeah.
You know? They're also bringing a line of retro games. Oh God. Okay. To the Switch. That's fine. Whatever. Sonic's on every platform imaginable. Why not put him on the Switch?
Yeah.
Which I thought he was already on the Switch, even the old games, not just Sonic Mania. Yeah. 15 titles were released on the new Sega Ages lineup.
I remember Sega Ages.
Yeah. Studio M2 responsible for the previous 3D release, M2's involvement. Mm-hmm. Not listing what they're going to be. Sonic the Hedgehog, Phantasy Star, and Thunder Force 4 are the three, but they'll be another 12 that they'll bring as well. And then, of course, the announcement for Shenmue.
Oh, yes.
1 and 2 coming to PC with updated graphics options. They're also going to get... It'll be available on Xbox One and on PS4 mm-hmm. as well. It's already got a Steam page for it. I don't know if the Steam page is updated with the price, but...
It's not.
Okay, it's $30.
Okay.
Hmm.
$30 will get you Shenmue 1 and 2.
And I already backed Shenmue 3 on the Kickstarter.
Sorry.
Yeah. So I'll, you know, this I'll be able to have all three Shenmue on the PC.
On the PC.
Yeah, one of the things about Shenmue that always got me was how when 2 ended, it was just that
cliffhanger.
That big cliffhanger. And I still remember it. I'm still waiting for the third part to come out. It's kind of like what was another one? Half-Life?
Yeah.
What else? I guess your Half-Life is my Shenmue.
Well,
stuck on a cliffhanger. So
my Shenmue too. I was there with you on that one. I actually bought the Japanese. I think it was. I bought the European. The European.
The blue label. Light blue label. Yeah, that one.
Yeah, I bought the European Shenmue 2 to play on my Dreamcast.
Right.
Because it wasn't released on the Dreamcast.
Yeah, it wasn't released in the States, so you had to import it. So
and they did. It did come out on the Xbox later.
Much later. Yeah.
But I mean, I was a fan of Shenmue from day one.
Yeah. Yeah,
but the atmosphere, the music, the game, the everything. And so when I heard about 3, I instantly put my money down to get a copy of that one. Scott, you know, said that, you know, they're re-releasing 1 and 2. Bam. And they got my money.
Yeah. It was like when I bought
so
2,
happy.
The import. I remember it was a little import shop in Elyria, Ohio. We were visiting family. And just spur of the moment, the place I'd done business with earlier.
Aren't those fun?
Yeah.
To find little shops like that and find something in there.
I got it in Eastdale Mall at the GameStop.
Mm-hmm.
In Eastdale Mall, that of all places.
Yeah.
They had it there. I'm like, well, all right, yeah, I'll take this. Yeah.
So I met him. Like I said, I did business with him earlier, and then later on met him and partook of all his things in the shop and then bought Shenmue 2 from there. Took it home with me. But it was good, man.
Hopefully they do well with the PC release as far as like optimizations and you know, getting it to work right.
Yeah.
Physical and digital editions will be available for the consoles. Digital editions only for PC.
It'll be console version for me then.
It's been a decade or so since I played it. Even though the Dreamcast had the VMU, Shenmue didn't utilize that, did it?
Not that I recall. It may have.
Cause
it may have had something in there for it, but
maybe like
using
the clock, you know, to let you know what time of day it is.
Yeah, maybe something like that.
But you know, so I'm just curious, like, you know, the control scheme.
Yeah, but you had something in game to let you always look at Ryo always looking at his watch.
Yeah.
On that one.
I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, the pre-order should be up soon for Steam. Mm-hmm. But I remember seeing something about it'll be $30, Steam or console digital versions. Anyway, physical, I have no idea if that price will change. But the digital versions will be $30. And you'll get both games for that price. So, the BAFTAs were held earlier this week. That's the
British Association of Fine Arts.
Something like that, yes. But it's the British Awards.
Yeah.
And they always do a fantastic job of representing video games. I've always preferred theirs over, like, the Video Game Awards and all that stuff that we try to do here.
They're very British.
Well, not even that. It's just that there was no...
I mean, proper, professional, not a spectacle.
Not necessarily. Well, yeah, you know, it's not they didn't have bands come out and play or a drunk dude from a studio talking about how EA sucks when he actually works for his game is releasing.
Yeah, no,
under EA.
Like I said, they're very British. You know, they're not the variety show that we get here.
And even though I didn't watch it or anything like that, I just don't want to come off sounding like I'm pretentious about it. But
I'll be pretentious.
I've enjoyed their awards, and I've talked to people who've won their awards, and they...
Because, you know, BAFTAs aren't just about video games. It's about, like, all kind of, you know, media arts in a way. You know, like, they get BAFTA awards for TVs, for movies, you know, all that kind of stuff, so...
Like, I was going to say their categories are pretty well, you know, not game-fueled by do or anything like that. However, they do have a category called the Best British Game.
Well, I mean, they want to, if they're the BAFTAs, they want to highlight British
achievements. Artistic achievements. Nominees were Cuphead, which makes sense, Horizon Zero Dawn, Uncharted, Lost Legacy, Breath of the Wild, Hellblade, and Gorogoa. And Hellblade won that one. Audio achievement, Hellblade won that one.
I need to play Hellblade.
I started looking into it as well, and I was like, I should look into this and maybe play it. Give it a play, see what it's about. Best Game. The nominees were Hellblade, Assassin's Creed Origins, Horizon Zero Dawn, Breath of the Wild, Super Mario Odyssey, and What Remains of Edith Finch.
That's another one I've heard good things about.
Well, it won Best Game.
That makes me really curious.
It beat Look at all the... It beat Odyssey. Breath of the Wild and Horizon and Hellblade and Origins.
Edith Finch.
Yeah.
What remains of Edith Finch?
Okay.
Which I swear that game came out before last year.
And now, isn't it kind of like Going Home where it's not quite a game?
It's more like an exploration
game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a little puzzle thing, whatever.
Yeah.
God, I love Lethal Migraine. He's fantastic.
Let's see.
All the options were bad for best game, so Edith Finch was the right option.
It said Edith Finch released April 25th of 2017.
Really?
That's the initial
release date. I swear it feels like I've been hearing about this game much longer than that.
It's a walking simulator.
Well, I guess it's been a year.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Anyway, best British game, Hellblade.
Okay.
What's British about it?
I don't know. It was made by Britain, or British company.
Best debut
game. Cuphead was nominated, and so was Hollow Knight and Night in the Woods, but Gorogoa won that one. I could be butchering the title of that game.
Spell it.
Goro, G-O-R-O, Mortal Kombat. Mm-hmm. And then Goa, G-O-A.
Yeah. Close enough.
Or it could be Gorogoa.
With the G silent.
Where do you put the emphasis and everything?
Okay, let me see. Ninja Theory.
Who did what? Gorogoa?
Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice.
Yeah, Ninja Theory is
Ninja
the
Theory.
One. Yeah, yeah, they did that. Did you not know that?
No, are they British? I'm still trying to figure out why it's British.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. It says headquarters in Cambridge, UK.
Really?
Why did I think Ninja Theory was...
Okay, headquartered in Cambridge, UK, founded in March 2000.
I love Cambridge.
Jez San, Tamim, Antoine, okay. Privately held company, yeah.
When was it founded?
It says March of 2000.
I could have gone there. It was like, Cambridge is like 15 minutes from my house.
Okay.
I mean, you could have gone to Cambridge.
I went to Cambridge all the time on the weekends.
Oh, okay.
But like, I could have gone to their studio. I mean, it's right there in Cambridge.
When were you there?
03 to 06.
I'm trying to think of what they would have been working on. I know they did Metroid Other M.
Yeah. That was after, but I'd already come back.
I wonder what they were working
then.
On in 2003 and 2006.
Pink Floyd is from Cambridge as well.
Anyway, evolving game.
But that answers it. Yeah.
Overwatch won that one.
Okay.
Fortnite was involved. PUBG was involved. And Rainbow Six Siege was involved. I guess these are...
Games that have evolved over time.
Yeah. Best family game, Super Mario Odyssey.
Okay.
Game beyond entertainment. We had Night in the Woods, Life is Strange, Last Day of June, Bury Me, My Love. I'm curious what that is. And then Hellblade, and that won.
See, some of those sounded like emo songs.
Game design, Super Mario Odyssey. Game innovation. Hellblade was nominated, did not win.
Oh.
Edith Finch was nominated, did not win. Breath of the Wild won that one.
Okay.
Mobile game Golf Clash. Wait a second. This tells me a little bit more because Bury Me My Love is a mobile game.
Oh.
It was nominated. Gorogoa was nominated under the mobile game. I think it is available, but you can also play it on PC.
Kind of like The Room?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Room?
Something like that.
Is it The or just Room?
The Room.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with The Room movie. Or...
Right, yeah. Best multiplayer was Divinity Original Sin 2. Beat Fortnite, beat Player Unknown, beat Splatoon 2. Star Trek Bridge Crew was nominated, and I sent a link to you guys for that.
That's on sale.
It is on sale. I don't know.
Have any VR to play it.
Do you still need VR? I thought they got rid of that ability.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I mean, but what's the point of playing it with if you're not doing it in VR?
Well, yeah, totally.
You know?
I mean, I don't think they got rid of the ability. I think they added the ability to play it without VR is what I was trying to say.
I mean, if it's a game designed for VR, then, you know, you want to play it in VR.
Well, VR. The PS4 VR dropped in price.
It did, but it's not free yet.
I know it's not going to help you, but...
until
the thing about it is that
it becomes a lot cheaper.
It's cross-platform play on VR.
Which is fun.
So if you get it on PS4, you can play it with somebody who's playing it on a Vive or a Rift. Or other people who's playing it on a PS4. I really want to do that because I think you need about five or six people to play that game. I think it'd be a lot of fun. Best music was Cuphead.
Okay.
It also beat out Edith Finch and Hellblade. Best narrative was Night in the Woods, which also beat out Edith Finch and Hellblade. Which is interesting that they're not winning in these other categories, but they did win in like best game.
Best game overall is not getting any of the aspects.
But it didn't
win
in narrative. It didn't win original property. Horizon Zero Dawn won that one. Cuphead, Gorogoa, PUBG, and Edith Finch were nominated. Performer. Oh, actors. Let's see. Assassin's Creed, the guy who plays Bayek in Assassin's Creed Origins was nominated. Ashley Birch in Horizon Zero Dawn. Claudia Black for Lost Legacy. Laura Bailey for Lost Legacy for the Uncharted games. And Valerie Rose Lohman as Edith Finch in What Remains of Edith Finch. None of them won, but Melina Jurgens in Hellblade plays the title character. Senua?
I don't know.
I was with Senua.
Yeah. Won that one.
I guess for the extreme psychosis she was going through.
I'm really curious to play that game. I watched a few little, and it's been out for a while now, so I can probably get it cheap, but I need to look into that game more. So, and that's pretty much it on the news front. I don't think the reviews for God of War came out.
Not interested.
That's totally fine. It got some really good scores for God of War.
Sure, if you're a God of War fan, I tried it. I just never got into the series. So
really, you never got into any of them? That's true. It's totally fine. It's just they've been around for a while.
I had three remaster. What was it, three on the PS3?
I think so.
I think that's one I had.
Yeah, I think in my case,
it just never grabbed me.
No, I think in my case, I've played enough God of War. It's kind of like I know what's coming. I mean, long adventure, intense battles, brutal kills. Yeah, I've seen this before.
Yeah.
Pretty much, I guess the only reason to play it would be for just for the story more than anything else.
Yeah, this the new one has gotten a lot of there's a Digital Foundry did a thing on it, you know, measuring frame rates and everything else.
Right.
They did a whole thing. It's about an 18-minute video, but like so, the first 10 minutes covers just how beautiful it looks,
right?
And then the rest of it covers the frame rates and on the different modes for the PS4 Pro and the PS4. And so, Matt, you may want to answer that question in the chat room because none of us from Wangot, I guess, or Wangot. What do you think of the AI in Far Cry 5? You'd have to answer that. You're the only one playing it on this crew. But yeah, God of War, a lot of great reviews, very, very pretty. It's taking a different approach to how you play the game. Somebody compared it to, oddly enough, they compared it to Alfred Hitchcock's Rope, which is a movie.
I like Rope.
Rope was done, I don't remember what year that was, but it's way back when.
I think it was the 50s.
But it was done in a style to make it look like it was one continuous take.
Yes. There are, I think, three edits
in
it, but they mask it so well.
But he related that to the way that you play God of War. The game starts with, like, Kratos chopping down a tree, and then the camera pans. After the tree is chopped down, the camera pans to his back. And it's always this fluid. It's this fluid motion from one thing to another, and it never really cuts away. Even during big, like, animated cutscenes, it just moves from that character to whatever it's going to focus on there, and it, which I thought was really interesting. Not something that I would recognize while playing it, because I think a lot of games actually kind of do this. They try to make it seamless, going from gameplay to cutscene, that sort of thing. But even during cutscenes, you have cuts.
1948, by the way, Matt.
Wow.
When Rope came
out. I thought it was early 50s. I didn't know.
You usually have when cutscenes play, you'll usually have camera cuts to focus on characters talking, but apparently that's not the case. Anyway, I'm very interested in playing it. I've already plopped down the money to get my statue and everything, you know, whatever.
Collectible,
My tchotchke edition that I always go to. So, anyway, we got to run. That is going to do it for us. We are done. I want to thank everybody for joining us in the chat room, as well as everybody listening on the show, or on the stream, and on the radio. Thanks to everybody who gets us each week from iTunes, or however you get our show for later use. We do appreciate it. Go to ingamechat.net, and then you can join us on Twitter, Facebook. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel. You're watching us on Twitch. Why not subscribe? You're watching us on Twitch. Why not subscribe? And if you're on Steam, join our Steam group. If you're on PS4, we've got a group there. If you're on Xbox, we have a group there. We've got a Discord. We've got this. We've got that. We're all over the place. You can find everything you need at ingamechat.net. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Thanks to our calls for J-Dub and Chris. And have a great week. We'll see you next Saturday. I'll play this last song, but I don't want to talk over it. So I will just say that you heard Uncharted 3, Resident Evil Revelations 2, mm-hmm. Battletoads, mm-hmm.
Earthworm Jim,
Kid Icarus, mm-hmm. Earthworm Jim, Metroid. What are you? Then any guesses?
All games with sequels.
No. Probably. I mean, that works, but anything for you, RJ?
I earlier thought something about driving levels and courses like that. Then Earthworm Jim killed that, so it can't be that.
No. This next track comes from Portal. Does that help?
No.
Okay.
Weird methods of travel?
Nope, nothing like that. Nah. Every single one of those games, the final main boss was female.
Okay.
Mother Brain? Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Queen. Medusa was Kid Icarus.
Yeah.
Queen,
yeah. Uncharted 3 was that lady, right?
Well, I don't know if I can say her name.
Are you talking about Earthworm Jim?
Yeah, I can't know if I can. I don't know if I can say her name.
Queen Slug for a Butt?
Queen Malformed.
Yeah, it's a long name. Yeah, that's exactly
Queen
what it
Malformed
was.
Infested Slug for a Butt. That's
yeah,
her name.
Exactly. Queen Slug for a Butt for short. Anyway, that's it. We'll see you next. Yeah, we'll see you next week.
It's hard to overstate my satisfaction. Aperture Science. We do what we must because we can. For the good of all of us, except the ones who are dead. But there's no sense.